Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. Join us on our journey into the past, the present, and the future as we explore the relationship between technology and humanity. Together, we are going to find out what it means to live in a society where everything is connected and the only constant is change. Knowledge is power, now more than ever. Devo unlocks the full value of machine data for the world's most instrumented enterprises. The Devo Data Analytics Platform addresses the explosion in volume of machine data and the crushing demands of algorithms and automation. Learn more at devo.com.
Marco.
Sean.
Let's just all run wild through the field with no direction or plan.
That's how I grew up. Throw a ball, follow the ball. You know,
yeah, just wherever it goes, soccer. You go, and no specific goal in mind. Just kind of be there and do what you want to do.
Yeah, and nobody won ever a championship by doing that. Ever. But as a kid, that's a lot of fun because nobody's telling you what to do.
It is a lot of fun. But if you could have the best team playing with each other, playing against each other. But without some good coaching, like you said, you're probably not going to win the championship. It'll be a fluke if you do.
Yeah, we'll be very, very random. And you know what? There's also certain sports that you can probably just pull it yourself without too much coaching. But when something become complex, and I don't know if you get the hint in the word complex to drive you somewhere, Sean.
There is a complexity. Well, I think it is kind of the point, right? Those who listen to us know that we are heavily involved in tech and cybersecurity, and there is complexity there, and it never looks the same twice. And the threats that we're facing never look the same, and the business we're trying to protect never looks the same. So there's always something different. And to your point, Marco, and I don't want to belabor this too much, but even tennis players, right? Whomever your opponent is, you might practice differently or try different moves or prepare for a long game versus a short, quick, single set. And I'm probably screwing up the analogy here, but the point is you got to have a plan. You need people to help you with that plan. You need people to help you practice and prepare and compete. And that's what the coaches do for the upcoming U.S. Cyber Games. We have a new head coach and a coach joining us today. I'm going to pass the ball to Jasmine, one of the coaches. I believe Jasmine's doing the capture the flag focus, and we'll get into what that is. But first, Jasmine, a little bit about yourself, some things you're involved in. I know you have a wide array of things you're supporting and volunteering for, including U.S. Cyber Games. A little bit about you, please.
Yes. So I'm Jasmine Jackson. I'm originally from California, originally from the Bay Area. Currently live in Charlotte, North Carolina. Been here for over 10 years. Have my master's in computer science. Moved into information security. My specialty is web application security, which is TJ's favorite. It's a running joke between the both of us. As you mentioned, I love volunteering. So I volunteer with such efforts such as Black Girls Hack, Women's Cyber Jitsu, Blacks in Cybersecurity. Those are some of the volunteer efforts that I do. I'm also an adjunct professor with Drexel University in Philadelphia, also with City University of Seattle in Seattle, Washington, an associate faculty there, created course content with Cyberary, InfoSec Institute, and so just done a variety of things, presented at Bug Crowd, also internationally at Not Pink Con, which was a women's conference in Buenos Aires, Argentina. So I do a variety of things. Like I said, my main focus is web application security, but I also dabble in mobile security as well.
Nice. And I presume a bit of OWASP it's in there as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They have, I noticed that they have the 2021 list. I saw that this past week on Twitter. So that has been interesting to see. So yeah, that's been very interesting to see how everything is ranked. So yeah.
And on top of all of that, you got involved with the US cyber game. So
yes,
I don't know where you find the time, but maybe we'll ask you that later on.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, Sean. I mean, this is our third or even fourth conversation about the US cyber games. And I remember in the first one, we didn't even have the coach or the team. And so now we are presenting two of them, but we have to remember that this is a team as well. It's not just a few of you representing, and we go back on complexity. But let's pass the ball to TJ. TJ, a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So it's good to be back on the ITSP podcast. My name is TJ O'Connor. I'm the program chair for Florida Tech. It's a cybersecurity program. And I lead a hands-on practice-based curriculum there. And the director for Florida Tech's IoT Security and Privacy Lab, where we use, where we examine the security of Internet of Things devices and devices that are commonly in the household, and assess the different vulnerabilities that may exist on them and the threats they pose to your privacy. I am a veteran of the U.S. military, where I spent 20 years and really only recently retired and finally got to really do what I want to do with my life, and that is pursue work and education. And so I'm excited to be living that life, and even more excited just recently to have joined on with the U.S. Cyber Games and work with some of the best talent in the nation.
Yeah, and I love that you just said education, because all the conversation that we're having, on top of helping to promote this event, it's also the fact that we have put it in that bucket of conversation that we call redefining education on ITSP Magazine. So that is actually the main reason why we do this. It's not just for fun. It's not just a game. There is a purpose in everything that we do here. So maybe TJ, you want to tell us a little bit about what does it mean to train a team to go and compete in the U.S. Cyber Games?
Yeah, so I mean, this is something Jasmine, myself, Dr. Bryson Payne, Dr. Susanna Schmelk, and Dr. Dane Brown are really excited about. I think over the last what's it been, Jasmine, 6 weeks?
Yes,
we've had just an opportunity to work with some of the best talent in the nation. In the 18 to 26 year old bracket, and it's been a real special opportunity. It's certainly been some long nights for all of us, getting challenges and lessons ready and preparing, but it's been very rewarding as well. I think there's this adage that whenever you teach, you learn as well, and I think that I'm very fortunate to have been a part of the combine and been a very part of this opportunity. I'm learning at all angles. Like Jasmine hinted, web application vulnerabilities are generally my weakness, and Jasmine has been helping me to understand kind of a methodology and approach to go ahead. And some of our other coaches have been teaching me other aspects, but even greater, I've really been learning from the athletes. I think kind of one of the stories I like to tell is of a particular challenge we set up in the binary exploitation CTF, or capture the flag. And I wrote the challenge myself and really kind of intended for the challenge to be solved with one attempt. And to make that, to kind of force that to happen, I compiled the binary with all of the protection mechanisms you could compile it, and kind of forces the student or the athlete into solving it only one way. And so there was really only one intended solution. And most students, about 95% of them, solve that way. And one of our athletes, upon solving it, you know, came back and said, hey, I know you meant to have it solved this way, but I went this other kind of roundabout way. And it was kind of really phenomenal, the way in which he did it. You know, it was nothing I'd ever seen. It was nothing I'd ever taught. And it was certainly a technique, for binary exploitation that I wasn't familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reached out and I said, like, well, first off, teach me and show me what you did. And he showed me, and I said, wow, that makes sense now. And I get it, but I still never would have thought like that because I'd never seen that before. And he said, you know, he said to me, that, you know, I never really saw it before. The only time I've ever seen it is it started popping up in CTF competitions over the last couple of months, and people have been using this technique. And so I saw a perfect opportunity to throw it at this. And it really, to me, echoed kind of what this is about. You know, sometimes the way in which we grow as people is really to kind of push our boundaries and try things that are a lot harder than necessarily, they're slightly outside of our comfort zone. And I know that we tried to make the combine in such a way that it was inclusive and supportive for everyone, but also kind of push those boundaries. And you know, for that athlete kind of going above and beyond and solving something in a non-standard way, he found a way, even on a challenge that he knew how to solve, to kind of push that envelope. And I think that's what we're all about here at the US Cyber Games. I think that's why I'm signed on, is that, you know, I just kind of, I'm at a point in my life where I really enjoy watching people grow, and you know, and selfishly, I'm glad to be participating in that, and it kind of fills my bucket. So it's been a good spirit so far.
Yeah, and every conversation that Marco and I have about this, and we've worked with the Cat's Eye team on other events similar to this. But the thing I like about this model is that we are learning as you go, right? The environment changes, how the team interacts with each other and against each other changes. And Jasmine, I want to go to you for this, because mm-hmm. in a competition, you presume everybody's prepared. They know what they need to know. They know the plays they're going to run. They know what each person is doing on the team, how the coach is going to interact with them. How do we balance and or transition from pure learning mode to competing mode? Where they transition from student to athlete?
Yes. So in that case, it's pretty much, I'm going to answer it in regards to the CTF, doing as many CTFs as they can, you know, just and pounding the pavement. And as you said, learning will continue to happen and they will continue to learn. But, and I'll use an analogy with me. So in my spare time, I like to liken myself as a bug bounty, do bug bounty research, right? So I saw a tweet and it's like, your journey of bug bounty will start after your Udemy courses. So basically meaning like you're actually going to have to start, like, you know, opening burp, you're going to have to like start, you know, poking around on a target and, you know, spidering a site, or, you know, you're going to have to actually start doing. I think a lot of times with like students or, you know, moving from like actually learning to doing is like, you always feel like you're not ready. And then at some point, you're just going to have to do it. You're just going to have to start. And it's like, you're not going to be 100% ready. You might be 70% ready. You might be 80% ready. But you're going to be ready enough to start. And then from there, you'll gain the experience to continue on and to grow your skill set.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, you just can't know everything, right? And what I love, I'm actually looking at the.
I can know.
Well, yeah, you can, but you know, you're a special kid. No, what I'm really enjoying actually is I'm scrolling on the page where the coach roster is on the U.S. Cyber Games website, and I like that each single one of you has, there is an hexagon, and I'm kind of mm-hmm. describing for the the people listening to this, and I invite to actually check who the rest of the team, coaching team is. But there is like these levels that you have according to each point of the hexagon is one of the specialization. And you all have a different level of knowledge that I assume you gave yourself. So cryptography, forensic, networking, reversing exploitation, reconnaissance, and web. And I'm kind of picking around, and everybody has certain strength. So all this to get to the point of diversity, and maybe Jasmine, you can keep going on these, and then you pass the ball to TJ. How do you select a team, and how important it is to have a diverse team? And not just talking about skills, talking about diversity in every sense.
Yeah, in every facet is very important, right? So because, again, this is the U.S. cyber teams. So we want this to be a reflection of the U.S. The U.S. is a melting pot. It is diverse. So also this is the cyber teams, you know, I think TJ touched on it in the beginning with, you know, our Kanban was very inclusive. You know, we had, you know, women and it was from the 18 to 26 bracket. So it's very important that diversity, we represent diversity, and whether that is race, you know, gender, you know, that's very important. You know, we're representing the United States, and that needs to be reflected in who we select.
Yeah, and talking about selection, TJ, can you kind of give us an overview of what the Combine is and how the selection process works and what the team should be preparing for as part of that?
Yeah, sure. So going into the Combine, we had a good understanding. All 60 plus athletes that went into the Combine had previously competed on the U.S. U.S. Cyber Range that Virginia Tech runs, and they had competed in a CTF. So we had kind of a baseline scoring of how they were doing, and the intent of the Combine was not necessarily to tap or metric the best skill. We really wanted to see a couple different things. And first off, we wanted to see over a period of 6 weeks with some dedicated instruction, how much people could grow. You know, David Brumley at CMU likes to talk about autodidact learners or the best hackers or people that can self-teach, that can grow, that are invested in their own skill. And so we wanted to see if we could figure that out. We also wanted to see who would try hard problems. So, you know, some of the challenges were pretty difficult, and we wanted to see not necessarily who solved them, but who dug in, who didn't give up, and who kept kind of trying to power through on the difficult ones. And then most importantly, we kind of wanted to see who played well on a team, because this is not an individual CTF. This is a competition where a team is going to represent the United States. And so over the course of those 6 weeks, in five different topic domains, we set up unique challenges that forced them to work together on teams. And then we assessed their performance as both a team and an individual. And we kept kind of some data points on that. And then immediately after this podcast today, all of the coaches are kind of sitting down to review that data, as well as kind of listen to their intuition to figure out how to get that 60 down to the eligible 20 that can compete at the international competition.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, it maybe early stage, it sounds like you're about to review some of the data, but I'm wondering, do we have a good mix of folks with skills in all the areas that we need to compete as a U.S. cyber team? Or are there areas, forgive me if I don't know, are there areas of soft skills perhaps that, like the leadership within the team, separate from the coaching you're providing? Or do we need more in cryptography, or do we need more in networking and understanding some of those in relation to cloud, with that's very prevalent, obviously, in business? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, the running joke with Jasmine and I that she alluded to kind of at the beginning is that everyone hates web. And it's not that everyone hates web, it's that it's a topic domain that people tend to do poorly in. It takes a lot of investment into a taxonomy that isn't closed. That can be very frustrating. You know, it's not that it's any harder than binary exploitation, reverse engineering, forensics, networking. It's that web is constantly growing. And it seems to be all of the various web-based technologies that are available seem to be growing at a faster pace. And so, you know, the kind of standard SQL injection vulnerabilities that used to pop up on web challenges have gotten incredibly more complex in recent years. And I might even argue that crypto is kind of grown at that same mm-hmm. rapid speed, where some of the other domains, they seem to be very difficult, mm-hmm. but they haven't had that accelerated growth. So I'm not a huge fan of web for that reason. And, you know, that's kind of the leading reason why we're blessed to have Jasmine on the team and have her expertise in that domain.
And I want to pick your brain, Jasmine, on this, because the first thing that comes to mind is APIs. So maybe just a broader view from you on, or a deeper view perhaps even, on why web is so hard to get one's head wrapped around and why it's going to be important for this competition.
And it, yeah, so web is life. I said that to TJ. He's like, oh my God, there you go. And so, you know, web is everywhere. You can do it on your mobile device, IoT, all of these things. And so with web, and TJ alluded to this, but there's so many different categories, right? You know, you mentioned like APIs, you know, application programming interfaces. There's like SSR, you know, server-side request forgery, SQL, cross-site scripting, cross-site request forgery. You know, you have all of these categories, and, you know, while fundamentally they're, the nuances of them can get tricky for people, especially people who are just learning web. It can be tricky to learn the nuances of each one. And it's a lot. It's a lot of different categories. So I can understand how it can be frustrating for someone to be like, oh my God, there's so many different categories for this one subject. That's why I love web, because I'm a lifelong learner and I love variety. So it's like, I'm never bored.
you love a good challenge.
I love a good challenge.
There's a lot of opportunity for the entry point. So I'd want to embrace the web, because that's where it's very ripe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, talking about this, and this is a question for TJ. And do you, as a good coach, I'm not going to say you're going to spy on the other team, but you're going to learn about the other team, right? I mean, we're all going after the motto of the Coubertin. I think the important is to participate, but, you know, there is a healthy amount of competition going on here. So do you know maybe that other team are stronger on certain topics, on certain skills, and so you're going to adapt the team that will play against them accordingly? I mean, what is your intelligence on the other teams?
Yeah, so I'm not sure how good I would be as former military if I revealed all of our tradecraft in a podcast.
I'm trying to social engineer you.
But that is not to say that we've been watching the other teams. And certainly they are outstanding representatives of their countries. Europe just had a competition, and we certainly watched that competition and saw the outcomes of it and kind of determine those. And that does go into our decision-making of how we're going to formulate our team. You know, the team breakdown, we really have two competition formats. There's a CTF, what they call a Jeopardy-style CTF, which, those that aren't familiar with it, it's kind of like a Jeopardy board where there's different topic domains, and then there's different point values associated with those topic domains, ranging from easy to hard. And so those topics usually cover binary exploitation, reverse engineering, forensics, cryptography, and web. And so You know, that the skill sets break out against that fairly easily. Where it gets a little bit tricky is the other piece of the competition that is red versus blue. And in that case, we kind of have this dynamic environment where you simultaneously have to attack and defend a network. And certainly there exists an opportunity there to come up with a sound strategy that can take advantage of a weakness in one of the other teams. And so obviously kind of the intelligence we're gathering and understanding of what the other teams are capable of and where their strength lies is going to play into how we make decisions for that red versus blue team.
Yeah, very cool. And I can't help but think about this in the context of what the ultimate goal is. And that's to, well, one, raise awareness for the need for this talent, and then also help organizations understand the talent they really need, not just somebody who, no offense to the colleges, but just went through some standard college program with no real world examples. So this environment gives the athletes the ability to operate in an environment that's real, right? And it's changing every moment, just like real life does in the business. So maybe Jasmine, and you can take this, and then if TJ wants to comment as well, I'd be open to that. The value of this as an outcome for business, how they can leverage the talent that comes from this, how they can leverage the awareness that comes from this to prepare their own teams for the real life challenges they face in business.
I think this will be very important because I have a love-hate relationship with job postings now in information security. It's a joke that I have with my friends because, you know, you see some of these job postings and it's kind of like, you know, that some of the job postings, it's like, okay, I know a cybersecurity person, information security person did not come with this job posting. It was just kind of like, you know, just throwing jargon together and, you know, trying to make anything stick. So I think with this program, with the cyber games, I think it would be really good because then it will show what is lacking in cybersecurity and then hopefully create a pipeline for interested or people not even interested, create a pipeline of prospective prospective hopefuls who are hungry to get into the cybersecurity field to actually apply their skills. That was something that I saw in the combine with these athletes. It was, you know, and TJ touched on this earlier. It was like, you know, seeing these athletes work and seeing their brains work in solving problems and, you know, hearing the frustration of, you know, I've applied for jobs and, you know, I'm being auto rejected or no one is looking at me because I don't have certs or, you know, I don't have this and I don't have that. And it's like, you know, the way we, you know, hopefully this, you know, this program can be a step in the right direction of moving the needle of, you know, changing the way we hire, you know, people in the cybersecurity field.
And I know TJ, I called out the university and we've had a conversation with you. You're doing some unique things at the university to make it more hands-on. And I applaud you for that. So I'm going to turn it inward and pick on the certifications that Jasmine mentioned. I have a CISSP. No way can I be a security practitioner if I didn't have some hands-on experience like this game provides. So talk to us about that connection as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'm not one to really criticize or judge anyone's learning path. And I think it's really inappropriate to do it. And I've seen some kind of cherry picking saying that, you know, everyone should follow this same path. And I hear arguments both ways, right? Like I hear people saying there's kind of no way that you can come out of an academic program and be practical. And I, I hear people saying, you know, negative things about certification and that process. And you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, if the experience is positive for you and you grow from it, then it's the right experience for you. And I think kind of all paths have opportunities for everyone. You know, for me, you know, I went through my education in 1999. It was when I did my undergraduate education, and it wasn't 9 years until I returned to do my master's degree. I didn't stop learning in that time. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of hands-on exciting things with the U.S. military and was kind of relied on to build some interesting solutions. And in that process, you know, I did some certifications to help myself out. And then even after I got my graduate degree, I kind of went back out and I did some exciting certifications as well. I did the whole SANS program and then ended up getting a second master's degree out of it. But I, you know, then I still went back and got a PhD for a different type of education so that I could come back to education and be a part of it. So, you know, I don't like cherry picking any one thing and saying it's not right. I think any opportunity is right. If it helps you and it makes you grow, then you're on the right path. If you're following a particular path and it doesn't work for you, if education isn't the right opportunity for you for whatever reason, then, you know, find the path that works for you. In all of these things though, that I would say the most important thing is connecting with a mentor, mm-hmm. finding someone that is at the end of the road that you want to go down or actively going down it. And it's a couple steps ahead of you and can help you kind of see some of those forks in the road before they hit you. You know, I like to think that in education, that's my role. That, you know, as students are learning new, exciting things, I can help kind of steer that process. Not necessarily that I know everything, but I know sometimes some roads not to go down, and I can steer them off those ramps and then steer them back into opportunities to rapidly learn. But that's not unique to education, finding a mentor. And I know that, you know, Jasmine's very humble about it, but you know, it's kind of like Jasmine's life work is that she is, you know, if you kind of heard her intro, there isn't an organization that she isn't mentoring in. And I've been really humbled watching her do exactly that, from a very different standpoint than I was used to. In the cyber games. And you know, I'd argue that she's the heart of our team and is a phenomenal mentor to the athletes that she's got a couple of years on.
And sorry, I just wanted, with the certs, it wasn't, I guess I wanted to clarify, I wasn't bashing the certs. And I guess I want to preface that because with the athletes, when they were mentioning it to me, it brought me back to my experience when I was first getting into the cybersecurity field, because I went through the same thing of the auto rejection. And it's like some facets of cybersecurity have a narrow focus of who they want to hire. And it's like, if you don't have particular certs, and I think Sean mentioned like the CISSP or, you know, or just not naming anyone, but if you don't have X cert, it's kind of like, you know, we don't want to hire you. So that's what I meant by certs. You know, I have them, you know, I have no problems with them, but it's the narrow focus of you need this cert to do this job. We need to move away from that. And that's what
One of the really exciting things about the U.S. Cyber Games and so, you know, to step back is that, you know, one of the reasons why CATSI was able to get this up and running is that they partnered with the National Institute for Cybersecurity Education, and Danielle Santos there helped kind of kick this project off with the intent really of helping to kind of clearly define some of the workforce competencies and taxonomies and look at that a little bit more and using the computation lens to look at that. You know, I, it's funny, when hearing Jasmine's story, I agree with it 100%. You know, I retired from the military 2 years ago. At that point, I had 2 master's degrees, about 20 different certifications, a PhD, and 20 years of practical experience in some of the most austere environments in the world. And, you know, I felt pretty comfortable about my career options, but I just, you know, for fun, I took a lot of different types of interviews, I kind of knew I wanted to go to education. I wasn't sure if I was going to get an opportunity. A little bit later on in life, and sometimes I thought maybe they wanted someone a little bit younger. So I didn't know if I was going to get that opportunity. And so at one point, and I'm not going to shame the vendor here, but one of my buddies got me an interview with a particular company in the financial sector, and working on their red team. And the guy called me up and was very, for some reason, he was very upset to call me and said, he gets on the phone immediately and very begrudgingly says, "Well, what are you good at?" And the taxonomy of things I'm good at is pretty deep, but rattling them off on a phone call on first no notice, I wasn't that good at. And he was pretty upset after that. And then he asked me some obscure question, and I still remember it to this day. He said, "What is the Mimikatz process that attacks the passwords? What does it inject to on Windows 10 or something?" And I said, "I'm pretty sure, it's LSAS, but I haven't been playing around with the current version, so I'm not exactly positive if we're still doing the LSAS injection." And he's like, "Just tell me an answer." And I said, "Well, I think it's LSAS, but I'm not sure." And he was very upset that I didn't commit to an answer, right? And he might have asked me like two other questions and then just told me essentially, "You'll never work in red teaming. You have no idea what's going on," something or other. And I had a lot of opportunities at that point and a lot of offers. So it didn't bug me. It really made me think like, gosh, if I were a new college graduate and I didn't have the connections and opportunities that I have to make things happen for me, this industry would like eat me alive. And I didn't think that was very fair. I shook it off. And obviously I've had a huge bunch of opportunities since then, but I don't forget how that felt when I treat younger people and how I treat younger people, knowing that, that is how some people choose to treat them is totally unacceptable. And knowing that, as kind of a little bit more senior, having gone down this path a couple of times, where my responsibility lies in my words and actions to others.
So I just wanted to quickly note that I love what you said, TJ, that there are many paths and this is one path. And that's really what I wanted to highlight for the business, to what you both just said. Remove the blinders. Doesn't necessarily mean that a cert or a degree is better or worse. It doesn't mean that hands-on is better or worse, but the games does give experience to folks that might not have that experience otherwise. So I love that the path is there, and also the mentorship. The mentors can help you find that path if you're having trouble getting it.
Well, look, at the end of the game, and using the word game on purpose, it's the first conversation that we had with Jessica, for example, and with other people already about the cyber game. Is a new way to look at resolving this gap problem, which based on what you said, TJ, based on the horrible story that you just told us, it's like you wonder, oh, really, there is a gap? I wonder why. I mean, with this attitude, you're definitely not going to feel it. But I feel like, thankfully, with many conversations we had so far, you guys mentioned mentorship, diversity, the importance of soft skill, the team playing, the ongoing education, and probably the most important one, the one that you said at the beginning, TJ, where as a teacher, you learn from your students. So going with that attitude to refuse someone or missing a question, or not even missing it, but just like, who knows what this person was looking for. I feel like this entire new approach with the coaching team, with different way to select the team itself, competing with a diverse multicultural environment, and then coming all together, there is only one thing that can come from this, and it's something positive for the industry. So with this in mind, everybody is free to think different aspect of the conversation that we just had, and I certainly invite that to do it. We always say if we make people think, We are succeeding in our conversation, in our podcast, and the goal that we have with ITSB Magazine. So I want to thank you both, Jasmine, TJ, for being on this, and good luck with selecting the team, and we will be following this road to Athens. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Devo unlocks the full value of machine data for the world's most instrumented enterprises. The Devo Data Analytics Platform addresses the explosion in volume of machine data and the crushing demands of algorithms and automation. Learn more at devo.com. We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you learned something new and this story made you think, then share itspmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.